You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors on the first day of a new trading week, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight I'm speaking to Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth. It just seems a bit quiet today, Nick. I mean, I often say this, but particularly quiet today.
No, we do often say that, even Lindsay. And last week was irritating me because every single day was 18 billion, 17 billion. It was just couldn't seem to get back over 20 billion value traded. And I'll tell you the numbers at the close. But another dismal day, which I think is reflecting, I guess, a little bit of pause. You know, we've got these US stocks hovering in quite a tight range. They've been open in an hour and a half now. Mm. We've got a real flurry of big tech earnings later. Obviously, inflation concerns still ahead of us and a few things. So I wonder if the markets and traders aren't just having a little bit of a pause as we head into what's going to be a monster earnings week, US. And, of course, we're taking guidance on South Africa from probably from global events as well.
Yeah, okay. So after the bell, there's going to be – what is it this week? Is it Facebook? No, there's – what was the one that caught my eye today?
Facebook's due on a little later on today.
Yes.
Later on this week, we've got Microsoft and we've got Apple. Hmm. We've also got, I think if you look, it's Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, Facebook. It's all the big tech shares. In fact, it works out as about just over 20% of the market cap of the S&P 500 is going to be releasing figures in the next 5 days. So it really is a big one. And also throw it as well, Lindsay. I mean, in the background to that, central banks too. You know, we've got the Bank of England, ECB meeting on Thursday.
Yes.
Also Bank of England and a few others. So, I mean, it's quite a chunky week. And also some inflation numbers out of South Africa too. So there's a lot of stuff on the go for this week.
Okay, so people
against
just
the backdrop of an oil price that's shooting the lights out as well.
So yes, it
lots
is.
Lots of things to weigh up.
While inflation's in my mind, because you mentioned it, so I didn't initiate this commentary, but I saw on the BBC with a chap called Aaron Heselhurst, who's the BBC business presenter. I don't like his style, but he can be quite insightful sometimes. He interviewed the CEO of a company called Smurfit Kappa. I don't know if you know of them, packaging company, huge packaging company over here. And they were talking about inflation, and he said, I've never in my whole business life, which must span, I don't know, 30, 35 years, seen anything like the price rises I'm seeing. And anyone thinks that this is transitory is wrong, because this is here to stay. And this was a chap who packs the goods and has to buy stuff in order to create the boxes and everything. And it's just exactly
really
what we're saying.
It's the coalface, hey, Lindsay, isn't it? If you're involved in that sort of business, yeah. No, it's more and more. We had a presentation from our team in London. We were analysing a couple of UK shares, and one of the analysts was saying he had a few conference calls with a few of the listed companies, and he said that the words they were using to describe the price increases were staggering. Like they were talking about this. Yeah, really. So these adjectives they're using to talk about the costs that are coming through. So it's once again, I think this inflation concern is. And I see Mohammed Al Erian wrote a piece in the Economist of the Weekend FT yesterday, just saying that he says the central banks, in particular the Fed, he said are making a very big policy mistake by not raising rates now.
Mm. Interesting. Of course, it's never going to happen, because if it did,
happened.
The market would have to be flagged for 2 or 3 months. We'd have to have Jerome Powell saying, well, we might do it in the next 6 months and keep on going just to chip away at people's confidence. But if they suddenly said 25 basis points up, there would be a 5 to 10% correction in the stock market, I would have thought.
Yeah, minimum. Considering against the backdrop, once again, of we're sitting not far from all-time highs, actually. I mean, 45,000, almost 45,500 on the front by the futures. So, you know, 5 or 10% pullback would hardly be the end of the world.
No, it wouldn't, but it would give you a buying opportunity. Let's have a look at the Stock Exchange News Service today. Cautionary from Sabanier and Altron came out with results. Do you want to comment upon either of those?
Yeah, I can speak about Sabanier.
Okay.
Very interesting. No detail, may I add. I mean, literally came out with a couple of one-liners. It was pretty much during my 8 o'clock call this morning when they released a couple of SENS announcements, talking about. Well, I mean, there are talks. The rumors are that they're in the talks to buy nickel and copper mines in Brazil.
Yes.
That is where the rumor comes from, and it hasn't been validated or not by the company. FT's running with that story. It would concern me a little bit. You know, Mr. Froneman's got the last lot right when he bought the Stillwater platinum mine and could not put a foot wrong and everything fell into place. I mean, palladium went through the roof, platinum went through. The timing was perfect. But I'm a little bit concerned off the run we've had in the stage of the cycle now that Sibanye now wants to get out their checkbook again. I mean, they're on talks apparently with this Santa Rita, I think it's called it, or Saronto, or I don't know, something with an S, and nickel and copper mines in Brazil. And it does concern me that we're hopefully nowhere near the top of the cycle and you want to start making acquisitions because Sibanye and the rest of the diversified miners around the globe have been quite frugal when it comes to buying in this particular cycle.
They've been very responsible. I just wonder if he's just building up a small scale compared to the big ones, diversified mining house, and starting with gold. And then obviously he recognized that gold's future in South Africa was not a bright one. So he went into PGMs, overpaid in many people's eyes for Stillwater. But of course, it's turned out to be a spectacular success. And now he goes into Finland for rare metals or lithium, I think it is. He diversified there, and now,
that's right,
now copper and nickel. So before you know it, you've got a diversified mining house, not a gold company.
Yeah, and as you and I both wax lyrical about Mr. Froneman, you'd be sort of a hard man to bet against him because he really does tend to get things right, and it's in his DNA when it comes to the miners. And I quite like the portfolio he's putting together. The lithium mine you're referring to is about 100 miles just outside of Texas. Sorry, outside of Vegas in Nevada. So, yeah, he's definitely a man in a mission and a man in a hurry. Watch this space.
Very good. Let's have a look at some spot prices now, talking about watching this space.
Oh, did you want to talk about Ultron? It came out.
Exactly. I was talking to David Shapiro early on about this one. It was just sort of old tech. I mean, in its day, it was tech. Now it's just old tech and sort of bumbles along and it's got rid of bites. What's your impression of this company?
Yeah, it is old tech, and you wonder what they're going to do to make it new tech because they are certainly a little bit behind the curve. I mean, they came out, they were fairly optimistic with their statements this morning. And
in this sort of environment, revenue, where we are all dealing with working from home and tech space, the fact that your revenue rose 2%, I don't think it's really something you want to get excited about. Profit was quite nice, up sort of 71%, but the dividend falling, which is, I guess, it was a reflection of what is, I guess, a smaller group.
Lindsay than it was before they spun off the bites and headline earnings obviously reflecting that too, also down 90%. But overall, difficult to get excited to. I used to get excited about it when it did own bites, but since December last year, that bites is no longer part of the business and it's standalone on the LSE at the moment.
Yeah, it looks like another delisting to me, but I'm just being pessimistic. And
When you start, Lindsay, when you start seeing the CEO coming out with statements that our business is not truly reflected in the share price,
there you are.
You know, then you start saying, well, you know, my experience, the markets are quite efficient, actually.
Okay, good. Let's have a look at this spot price situation where the rand was in the 1480s this morning. It's currently in the 1470s. It's 1474 against the US dollar. British pound against the rand is 2029. Euro rand is 1711. Euro dollar 116.15, which is just slightly stronger for the US dollar. Gold has consolidated, albeit tenuously, above 1800. 1806, up $11 in the last day. The platinum price is up 14 to $1,064 an ounce, and the palladium price is 2,046, which is up $22. Yeah, the crude oil price, it went down a bit last week, didn't it? It had a couple of wobbly days with Russia talking about turning on the spigots, but look at this thing. Brent crude oil, $86.34, which is up nearly 1%, and 1.1% higher is the West Texas brand, which is $84.69 per barrel. And get this, European consumers, as you go into winter, natural gas up 8.8% today. Nick, transitory. It's transitory, I'm telling you.
Yeah, look, the more you sort of get the feedback and the days progress, we certainly are seeing some numbers, sort of the core inflation, the things like oil, the natural gas heading into the European winter, or the Northern Hemisphere winter, as well as the softs as well. Soft commodities also are up, and anything from the whole energy basket up as well. This is a concern, and I guess – you've got to weigh this. I guess central bankers have to weigh this up because some of them have very different mandates against inflation and employment and a few other things and price stability. But you've got to weigh up this cost of inflation, which certainly must be a concern and at some point must get destabilizing. I'm just surprised. I'm surprised OPEC Plus hasn't been more vocal. I mean, it's in their interest to sort of maintain, I guess, price stability. But the oil price up 68% year to date. You know, what they don't want is this thing falling on a heap if we go into another recession next year. So I'm not quite sure where they've been. They've been quite quiet on that side.
Okay, well, watch this space. I'm sure behind the scenes they're chatting. They just don't. They don't phone us, Nick, which is a shame.
They don't listen to our show. Damn it.
Of course they do. The Bitcoin price has gone from 67,000 down to 60,000 over the weekend, now back at 63,266, which is up 5.25%.
News coming across the wires that Visa was mulling over the idea of allowing vendors to use their Visa terminals to settle crypto transactions. So that's what's got the Bitcoin price excited. But I didn't see too much else on it.
Okay. I wish you hadn't told me that because I'm a Visa card holder and it just annoys me that they're doing this. You've got the US 10-year bond at 1.63%. The South African 10-year bond yield is 9.56%. The CRB index just below 7-year highs at just around about 253. What happened on the JSE today, Nick? Any big movers to the upside or the downside?
I guess, you know, I was expecting more with the gold price doing what it was doing. I was hoping the gold miners would get a bit of a bid, but not really. So if I look at what we had on the big movers on the day, you know, we've got Telkom, you know, out of nowhere. I'm just going to refresh my screen. And did you see Mr. Trump's Truth SPAC? Did you happen to buy any or not?
I've sickly subscribed, not subscribed, but given them my number, my email address. And I get 5 emails from Mr. Trump and his organization every single day. He calls me friend, and I've never even met him, but it's nice of him to say, friend, you are one of our biggest supporters, and I've never paid a penny or done anything. I'm just fascinated by this spew that they put out every single day. But anyway, no, go on. What were you saying?
Well, it's SPAC they listed last week, which is going to hold his truth. I don't know what it was. It's called the Truth Network or something like that. He wants to launch. He wants to rival the likes of Facebook and Twitter. Yeah, the stock's up 400% in 2 days, giving him an instant worth of $1 billion on the back of the SPAC. And of course, it doesn't do anything. It has nothing, and there's nothing inside it either. It's just a vehicle that's empty, but nevertheless.
Okay, what a world. All right.
Yeah, let's go on to more tangible stuff.
Okay, let's have a look at this.
On the JSC
I'll give you mine first because I'm 15 minutes delayed and then you can update it. Of the ones that we look at, Anglo American Platinum up 3.6%, Sappi up 3.5%, Equitas 2.7% better. And also Netcare doing well, 2 2/3% to the good. On the downside, Sibanye, just before the close, 4.9% weaker. Bytes down 3.1%. Process is a 3.1% loser. Naspers not that far behind, 2.85% down. And Goldfields down 2.3%. Any others, Nick?
Yeah, a little bit of a mixed bag of mid to smaller caps on the upside. You know, that SA Inc. story back in favor. Advitech up 3.03%. I saw Equitas Property Fund up 2.7%. Long for Life, Joffy's business up another 2.69%. And on the downside, Grinrod down sort of 5.5%. That caught my attention just off the back of, looks like these shipping rates are still starting to stabilize a little bit.
Yes.
Also City Lodge Hotels, which has had a monster run in the last few months. I guess you can put this down to a little bit of profit taking, down 3%, closing out at R5.60 at the moment.
Okay. JSE indices and also the all-important value traded, because you were going to shock us with a number.
All right, so let's look at the numbers. So we've actually got JSE All Share today having a bit of a nothing session, although at one stage it was up quite solidly. So we've given quite a lot back in the last couple of hours. Down 0.1% the All Share, 66,980, 20 points under the 67,000 level. Top 40 tradable index, 0.13% to the red, down just 78 points. Couldn't even make triple digits, 60,445. The Fini 15 was stronger today, up by 0.38%. And if I look at the biggest move, industrials had a decent day today, up 1.4%. Basic materials also 1% firmer. Healthcare 1.04%. There was a trading update from Aspen, Lindsay, or some sort of a report on what they were doing with vaccines, and they're quite an impressive set of numbers. And I just saw that particular stock was bucking the trend today. Aspen up 1% on the day. Energy shares up 0.68%. Of course, that's that oil price. Yes. And on the downside, real estate down 0.16%. Technology, a big weighting today ahead of a monster week of tech earnings, 2.54% down. Utilities, 2.11%. And value traded, hasten to say, it was actually 11 billion going into the auction.
Yeah.
And it just managed to squeeze out a couple more, but still a very, very disappointing day. 14.25.
Isn't that unusual? I mean, again, David Shapiro and I were talking about this earlier on. Isn't this unusual for this time of year? Surely people should be sort of positioning themselves for the fourth quarter and boosting some numbers and doing some nifty trades. What's going on here?
It's very unusual. This particular sort of volume, with very much a choppy lack of interest in a traditionally a very volatile month of October, slap bang into the real full swing of U.S. third quarter earnings, as well as European earnings season, throwing a very complacent VIX of 15.42%, unchanged on the day. I would say what is unusual, and David, I'm sure, would agree, is this complacency that we're seeing now at this stage in the sort of market cycle. There's a lot of complacency out there right now. Don't use it.
No, exactly. Well, we'll reconvene and put that to David Shapiro later on the Eternal Bull. But Nick Kunze, for now, thank you very much. Nick Kunze is from Sanlam Private Wealth in Johannesburg, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. Nick will be back with myself and David Shapiro same time tomorrow evening. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.